Colossians chapter 2, last week I was talking about there where, how they got this moved around here. You start up there last week, we started there in verse 1 where it says, "For I would," Colossians 2, 1, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together." He talks about some things that you're supposed to have, and you're supposed to have in Christ, and one of them was peace. We talked about that. We got down there talking about being rooted and built up in Him. And tonight we're in verse 8. And he uses a word here. And I'm going to say something here that I'm not even for sure if it's true, but it's probably true. It says the word beware. I don't know if I've heard this or I just made it up myself, but I'm going to say this. This word is this right here. Be aware. And what it says is be aware. When you're talking about being aware, you're being aware of your circumstances and your environment and everything that's going on around you. And you're looking at things and you're looking at life and you're looking at potential hazards and you're looking at the way things are. And he tells you to beware. And he tells you to beware of some things in particular. Now remember, last week, remember what we was talking about? We was talking about being rooted and established and all that stuff. Talking about being established in Him, as in Christ. And we're talking about being grounded and talking about how roots were grounded. It's talking about the Word of God and getting grounded in the Word of God, and it was by faith, because it says up there in the verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, which is by faith, so walk you in Him by faith." And that faith is in the Word of God. So you've got to stay in the Word of God. And he goes through there and he says, you've got to get rooted. You've got to get grounded. You've got to get built up. You've got to get established. And so in that context of being rooted and grounded, and you've got to remember to keep the context of things. Amen. And he says, being rooted and grounded. Where he says, rooted and built up, all right? So in verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you. Alright? So what he's saying is, beware, be aware. Here you are, you're rooted and you're built up in faith in Christ Jesus. So you've got a set of ideas and you've got a, it's the, when you decide, you know, what am I going to do on this issue right here? You're going to let the Word of God decide what you're going to do on the issue. It's not even a, it's not even one of those things on what you should do or what you shouldn't do. You know, you got to go by what the Word of God says. Sometimes there's some things in there that people's going to say, well, you take gambling. It's not in the Bible anywhere. Nowhere does it say, thou shalt not gamble. All right? There's plenty of stuff in the book of Proverbs talking about trying to get money fast and all this stuff. There's plenty of stuff talking about gambling in the Bible. If a person decides they want to know for sure, the Lord's got some stuff in there. So what you have to do, you know, it's funny how sometimes you can tell. You just automatically think that your kids know things, and you realize, Julia came home the other day, she probably won't tell this, but she came home the other day and she says, Dad, said, you ever heard this game called Blackjack? I said, yeah, I've heard that game. She goes, we played it today. I said, you played it? She goes, yeah. She said, I put in 50 cents, and somebody put in 50 cents, and somebody else put in 50 cents. I said, really? She goes, yeah. And she said, what you trying to do is you're trying to get closest to 20. I said, I know a game. Yeah. What happened? She goes, well, I want $1.50. I said, honey, that's gambling. She said, what? I said, I never even explained it to her. She had a clue what was, never a clue what's going on. I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I've got to get a little bit more into it. She know I'm playing blackjack. And I was like, well, how much money? You need more money. You're that good. But anyway, so he says, now you're rooted and you're built up in Him. Now, once he says that, then he says, you need to beware. Be aware. And be aware of what? In particular, he said, be aware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy and vain deceit. These are the two things that he says you need to watch out for. Vain deceit. And he says, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All right, rudiments. And this is what it's after. The rudiments of the world. Rudiments of the world. Now we know what of the world means. That means of the world, right? But what is rudiment? We don't even know the Bible. Rudiments. What does that mean? These basic. God means just something basic. Basic things of the world. That's what he's saying. So you've got the rudiments of the world, the tradition of men. So here it is. Here's what you're going to have, guys. And it don't matter what you get into. This is what it's going to be. What's wrong with it? Everybody else is doing it.
Amen, brother.
How short you got to be? I mean, that's it. The tradition of men. That's what it comes down to. Well, that's just not in style, Dad. Well, that's just not... That's what it comes down to. Well, what's wrong with music, Dad? It's not bad. They're not talking about drinking. They're not talking about drugs. They're not talking about worshiping Satan. They're not talking about killing a cat. They're not talking about what's bad, what's good. That's what it comes down to. That's the question. It's all those things that they begin to ask, and that's the tradition of men. He said, they're going to spoil you, which means they're going to take something away from you. They're going to take something good away from you. Philosophy is lover of wisdom, is what that means, lover of wisdom. And follow means love. Philosophy, Sophia, means wisdom. And so what that is lover of wisdom. That's what philosophy is. Now, what about vain? What is vain? If you said, what does vain mean? Now, here's some stuff. Now, what I'm giving you here, I mean, what I want to do is I want to preach every night. I'm trying to not do that. What I'm trying to do is give you some stuff. So you got philosophy there, telling you what that means. And then you've got vain. What does vain mean? Vain, I mean, obviously we use it, you know, They got songs about it, you know, you're so vain, you probably think this song is about you, all that stuff, vain. But if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 12, just in regular Bible reading one time, just happened to notice this. This is a definition, give you a definition here. And it'll tell you what vain means. And what they mean is they cannot profit anything or deliver you. All right? They're not going to deliver you from anything, and they're not going to bring you any profit. 1 Samuel 12, 21. 1 Samuel 12, 21. He says, "And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver." Why? For they are vain. So it tells you what vain is. Vain deceits. Things that can't profit, they can't deliver. Here's what you got. You've got, he's telling you to be rooted. Alright? In these chapters here, he's saying you need to be rooted and built up. Alright? That's what the goal is. Build up, and it's going to be in the Word of God because he's telling you to walk by faith. So this is what you're trying to get. Alright? There's what you're trying to get. But he says, you better beware. Because what's going to happen is, the tradition of men and the basic stuff of this world is going to spoil you. And it's going to use vain deceit and philosophy, wisdom. And that's what it comes down to. In this lifetime, it's going to be smart things people come up with, cliches people come up with. And it always seems like it's really smart. I never thought about that before. What about that? And that's what you come up with. And what they do is they try to mess up what people by asking questions. And they'll ask you questions. Like, they'll say, what about abortion? Is abortion wrong? Yeah, abortion's wrong. It's killing a baby. Well, is it really a lie? If it's in some room, is it really a lie? That's questions they're going to ask you. You're going to say, well, yeah, it's got a heartbeat. So if it's got a heartbeat, is it a lie? Well, yeah, it's got a heartbeat, it's a lie. Well, how do you know? So and that's what they do. They'll sit there and they'll come with this stuff like they've got these really good questions, and they ain't questions. They're just stupid stuff that you're trying to, you know, ask you, that don't even make sense. I bring up that stuff all the time. About a tree falls in the woods, there's nobody there to hear it. Does it make a sound? Yeah. Yes, it does. How hard is that to figure out?
That's the first time I teach in speech class at college, and every teacher has to have speech. I don't care what you're going to be, you have to have speech. That's the first thing they teach you, is that junk.
Yeah, how to question, question everything. They tell you question everything. And you get here in the, when you go over here in the New Testament, it talks about, it tells you to stay away from foolish questions, the Bible does.
Amen.
The big thing now going on, especially in these colleges, is question everything. I had a teacher tell us, Julia, that one thing the other day. She said, well, I'm not trying to get you to get off on your faith. This was last year. Off on your faith or none of that stuff like that. I'm just saying, you know what? You just need to question things. You just need to question everything. And that's the big thing in our heart. Question everything. No, the Bible says, avoid foolish questions because they gender strife and they mess you up.
Amen.
And that's what they're doing. It's this philosophy. It's this wisdom. It's this anything that they can come up with to make you think about what you're saying or what you're doing. And they'll take it out of context or they'll say it in a way to make you, well, what about if a woman's raped? Are you allowed to? No. It's still killing a baby. It's still killing a baby. What if she's raped? Well, what if she's going to die? What if she's going to, what if, and there's all these hypothetical, what if this, what if that, and it's all this philosophy. It's, they'll say, Dad, look, what's wrong with this? I can make a lot of money doing this right here. Well, it's called stealing, son. Well, I ain't really stealing. Yeah, it's called stealing. You know, if you take this and then you go and they don't tell you it's okay, and then you go sell it and make money, well, I'm making money in it. I'm feeding my family in it, Dad. I'm doing, it has to be that kind of stuff I can. And people sit there and they listen. Well, what do we do, Dad? Go on welfare? What do you say to somebody like that? You say, get a job. That's what you say to them. How hard is that? But they make it like it's supposed to be these things that's hard to answer. And he said, you got to be rooted and built up in the faith. It says, a man don't work, he's supposed to eat. And then that's it. Done. Finished. Well, what if he's got... Man don't work, he's supposed to eat. Finished. That's it. And if you're doing that right there, then you don't have any problems. But you get into this stuff like this right here, you get into this vain deceit, and it's not going to profit you anything, and it's not going to deliver you anything. He says, these are the things that you need to be aware of. And what would be good for a good study, go to Deuteronomy. A good study for somebody. If you ever just want to study and find something to study in the Bible, or you might want to teach it sometime, this would be a good study. I've thought about it before, but I've never done it. But and go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. There it is. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse chapter 8. He's going through all this stuff that they're going to get when they go to the promised land. Look at verse 8. He's finishing up. He says, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig grass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And that's great. He's telling you all the things you're going to give. And then in verse 11 he says, beware. Right there, get that same word. If you ever want to do a study, get the word beware and go through and just see in the Bible what are the things that God tells you to watch out for. What are you supposed to beware of? It'd be a good lesson, be a good... even a poster to write out, things to beware of. I mean, it'd be good for kids or anything. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full. And he goes down all that way and he says, verse 14, did thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, and that right there is America. And we've forgotten him. He says, beware, don't forget him. So there's some things there that you got to be aware of. Now what he's saying here is, we learned last week, and he's going out of his way to tell these people in Colossae, look, you have got to get your thought process, you have got to get your convictions out of the Word of God, regardless of whether you do them or whether you don't. And see, a lot of people would get in that thing where they say, well, you know, I hate to tell my kids to do something. I ain't doing it, you know. Tell them the truth. Tell them you're messing up. You know, you're not perfect. You ain't got... I'm not giving a person a ticket to sin or anything like that, but the point is, too many people, instead of just saying it's wrong, they justify it because they're doing it, and it's like they don't want, you know, well, I hate to get up here and act like I'm... Nobody thinks you're all that. Just get up there and say, this is what the Word of God says.
Amen.
You know, and there's some times, you know, if a person's got a problem, you know, with something, and they get up here and everybody knows they got a problem with it, they may even say, now look, y'all know me. You know how I am, but I'm going to tell you what God says. And I get convicted of this, but God still says it's wrong. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? If it's something that's just out and it's... Maybe it's, who knows, it's just being a gossip or being a smart aleck or whatever. You're saying you're talking about being, and you're not kind or whatever. The Bible says you've got to be kind. Y'all know how I am. I'm wrong. But listen, you still need to be kind according to the Bible. So I'm going to teach the Bible right. But what happens is so many people get to the point where they won't even preach it the right way because they ain't doing it right. And then they justify it in their mind. You know, you get... You get some moms that want to dress a certain way, and when it comes to trying to teach their kid, well, it's hard for me to tell my daughter to do this. If I'm going to dress, just say it the right way, or just change how you dress. Don't start giving excuses for stuff, and that's what happens. They don't have their convictions out of the Bible, and they begin to get all messed up from the world, from the rudiments of the world. They let the world tell them how to dress. They let the world tell them what's right and what's wrong. They let the world tell them what type of music you listen to, what type of TV you listen to, whether you should gamble or whether you shouldn't gamble, whether you should play the lottery or not play the lottery. Well, you know, it's helping education. Look how many thousands of dollars have went to education. Let me show you something. Here's what happened with education. Right now, when you graduate, if you sign up, you get the Hope Scholarship, you get this. $12,000. That's what you get. So, the schools, the colleges know every kid gets what? $12,000. Okay? So, here's their tuition this year. Well, then they realize everybody's going to get $12,000. So, next year, guess what they did?
$32,000.
I know I'm from, Scott County, Tennessee, but I can figure out, You go out there to Brad's Highway out there at 27 Supply, I'll open my wallet and he'll say, this is how much money I got. He'll say, $10. He doesn't even look at this thing, $10. He said, shouldn't show me how much money you got. He does that to me all the time. But that's what they do. The price goes up. So now we're all playing the lottery to help education.
Right.
And they're taking all the extra money, and everybody's trying to buy lottery tickets because they're all wanting to get rich, and it still comes down to, is it right or is it wrong? What do you go by? This right here. Go by the Word of God. Read it, you build up. And that's what he's saying. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. He said, beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that was right after he said in verse 6, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Alright, and then verse 9, for in him, talking about Jesus Christ, dwell with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The more we go through these verses, the more we go through these books, and I don't know if I've just never noticed it or what, teaching, but I just noticed it the last couple books we've been through, how much he hammers on what we have in Jesus Christ. How important it is to be saved in what we have because of Jesus Christ. And it's just over and over and over and over. And he says, you're complete in him. And you are, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so, chapter 2 here, basically what he's saying is, he starts off to start this, and he's talking about, he says, I want your hearts knit together. And he's talking about the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. He begins to talk about Christ in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he says, I'm telling you this so you don't get beguiled with enticing words. And so there's somebody that's always trying to trick you, always trying to mess you up, and that's what the Bible says that Satan did to Eve.
Yeah, amen.
Lest somebody beguile you like Satan did Eve. That's what the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so there's always somebody trying to talk you out of something, talk you into something, get you to do something because of that, or not because of that, or whatever, just to get what they want out of you. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop. It's 5 till 9, but I'm going to stop right here because what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to get into spiritual circumcision and verse 11. And I don't have an opportunity to go through all of it tonight, but I want to start on that next Wednesday night. And so we'll stop just saying this about these verses. He's talking about wisdom and knowledge, all right? You have wisdom and knowledge in Christ, okay? That's what you have. We have that in Jesus Christ, and we have the opportunity to have that in Jesus Christ. Like I was talking about last week about peace. This is our opportunity. This is what you have in Jesus Christ as a Christian. Once you got saved, that opened up a door to you that's not open to saved people. This is what you can attain. This is what you can have. You can have wisdom. You can have knowledge. But it's in Jesus Christ by faith. You're rooted and built up in the Word of God because that's where how you walk by faith. That's how you got saved, by doing what God told you to do. So it's all right there in the Word of God, and all these opportunities that we have because we're saved is all just opportunities. You're not automatically going to do it. It's opportunities. And then he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit. All right? So you got this opportunity. You can have it if you don't get spoiled through that. And that's what those first 10 verses are talking about. And then it says you're complete in him, talking about Jesus Christ. And then we get to verse 11. Next week we'll start talking about what he is and he's our and how we're spiritually circumcised and all that stuff. So we'll do that next week, starting in Colossians 2:11, all right?